The following facts show that the little horn was not Antiochus. Number 1. The four kingdoms into which the dominion of Alexander was divided are symbolized by the four horns of the goat. Now this Antiochus was but one of the 25 kings that constituted the Syrian horn. How then could he at the same time be another remarkable horn? Number 2. The ram, according to this vision, became great. The goat waxed very great, but the little horn became exceeding great. How absurd and ludicrous is the following application of this comparison. Great, Persia, very great, Grecia, exceeding great, Antiochus. How easy and natural is the following. Great, Persia, very great, Grecia, exceeding great, Rome. Number 3. The Medo-Persian Empire is simply called Great, verse 4. The Bible informs us that it extended from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, Esther 1:1. This was succeeded by the Grecian power, which is called Very Great, verse 8. Then comes the power in question, which is called Exceeding Great, verse 9. Was Antiochus exceeding great when compared with Alexander, the conqueror of the world? Let an item from the Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge answer. Finding his resources exhausted, he resolved to go into Persia, to levy tributes and collect large sums which he had agreed to pay to the Romans. Surely we need not question which was exceeding great, the Roman power which exacted the tribute, or Antiochus who was compelled to pay it. Number 4. The power in question was little, at first, but it waxed or grew exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. What can this describe but the conquering marches of a mighty power? Rome was almost directly northwest from Jerusalem, and its conquests in Asia and Africa were, of course, toward the east and south. But where were Antiochus' conquests? He came into possession of a kingdom already established, and Sir Isaac Newton says he did not enlarge it. Number 5. Out of many reasons that might be added to the above, we name but one. This power was to stand up against the Prince of Princes. Verse 25. The Prince of Princes is Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5, chapter 17:14, and chapter 19, verse 16. But Antiochus died 164 years before our Lord was born. It is settled, therefore, that another power is the subject of this prophecy. The following facts demonstrate that Rome is the power in question. Number 1. This power was to come forth from one of the four kingdoms of Alexander's empire. Let us remember that nations are not brought into prophecy till somehow connected with the people of God. Rome had been in existence many years before it was noticed in prophecy. And Rome had made Macedon, one of the four kingdoms of the Grecian goat, a part of itself, B.C. 168, about 10 years before its first connection with the people of God. See 1 Maccabees 8. So that Rome could as truly be said to be out of one of them, as the 10 horns of the fourth beast in the 7th chapter could be said to come out of that beast, when they were 10 kingdoms set up by the conquerors of Rome. Number 2. It was to wax exceeding great towards the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, Palestine. Psalm 106:24 and Zechariah 7:14. This was true of Rome in particular. Witness its conquests in Africa and Asia, and its overthrow of the place and nation of the Jews, John 11:48. Number 3. It was to cast down of the host and of the stars. This is predicted respecting the dragon, Revelation 12:3-4. All admit that the dragon was Rome. Who can fail to see their identity? Number 4. Rome was emphatically a king of fierce countenance, and one that did understand dark sentences. Moses used similar language when, as all agree, he predicted the Roman power, Deuteronomy 28:49-50. Number 5. Rome did destroy wonderfully. Witness its overthrow of all opposing powers. Number 6. Rome has destroyed more of the mighty and the holy people than all other persecuting powers combined. From 50 to 100 millions of the church have been slain by it. Number 7. Rome did stand up against the prince of princes. The Roman power nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Acts 4:26 and 27. Matthew 27:2. Revelation 12:4. Number 8. This power is to be broken without hand. How clear the reference to the stone cut out without hand that smote the image. Daniel 2:34. Its destruction, then, does not take place until the final overthrow of earthly power. These facts are conclusive proof that Rome is the subject of this prophecy. For an extended notice, see Advent Library number 33. The field of vision, then, is the empires of Persia, Greece, and Rome. That part of the vision that now engages our attention is the time, the reckoning of the 2300 days. The 2300 days not explained in Daniel 8. Gabriel did explain to Daniel what was meant by the symbols of the beasts and of the horns, but did not in this vision explain to him the 2300 days in the sanctuary. Hence, Daniel tells us at the end of the chapter that he was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. But there are several facts that will give us some light on this matter. Number 1, it is a fact that the 2300 literal days, not quite 7 years, would not cover the duration of a single power in this prophecy, much less extend over them all. Therefore, the days must be symbols, even as the beasts and horns are shown to be symbols. It is a fact that a symbolic or prophetic day is 1 year, Ezekiel 4, 5, and 6, and Numbers 14, 34. Hence, the period is 2300 years. Number 3. The period must begin with a vision. Consequently, it commences in the height of the Medo-Persian power. But the angel has not yet explained the manner of time or given its date to the prophet. If Gabriel never did explain this subject to Daniel, he is a fallen angel, for he was commanded in plain terms thus to do so, Daniel 8:16. But he is not a fallen angel, as appears from the fact that some 100 years after this he was sent to Zacharias and to Mary, Luke 1. Gabriel did explain to Daniel at that time more than he could bear, verse 27, and at a later period, as we shall now show, he did make Daniel understand the vision. Gabriel explains in Daniel 9 what he omitted in chapter 8. As we have seen, the charge had been given to Gabriel to make Daniel understand the vision, verse 16. But in the last verse of the chapter, we learn that none understood the vision. This must refer particularly to the 2300 days and to the sanctuary, as the other parts of the vision had been clearly explained. But in the first verse of chapter 10, he informs us that a thing was revealed to him, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. Hence it is evident that between chapters 8 and 10, he must have obtained the desired understanding of the time. In other words, the explanation must be found in chapter 9. Daniel 9 commences with the earnest, importunate prayer of the prophet, from the reading of which it is evident that he had so far misunderstood the vision of chapter 8, that he concluded that the 2300 days of treading underfoot the sanctuary would terminate with the 70 years desolation of the city and sanctuary predicted by Jeremiah. Compare verses 1 and 2 with verses 16 and 17. The man Gabriel is now sent to undeceive him and to complete the explanation of the vision. While I was speaking in prayer, says Daniel, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, here he cites us back to chapter 8, 15 and 16, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Verses 21 to 23. Note these facts. Number 1. In verse 21, Daniel cites us to the vision of chapter 8. Number 2. In verse 22, Gabriel states that he had come to give Daniel skill and understanding. This being the object of Gabriel's mission, Daniel, who at the close of chapter 8 did not understand the vision, May, ere Gabriel leaves him, fully understand its import. Number 3. As Daniel testifies at the close of chapter 8 that none understood the vision, it is certain that the charge given to Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision, still rests upon him. Hence it is that he tells Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding, and in verse 23 commands him to understand the matter and to consider the vision. This is undeniable proof that Gabriel's mission in chapter 9 was for the purpose of explaining what he omitted in chapter 8. If any ask further evidence, the fact that Gabriel proceeds to explain the very point in question most fully meets the request. That he does this, we will now show. Gabriel's explanation of the time. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9:24-27. Determined in verse 24 means cut off. 70 weeks are determined, literally, cut off. The Hebraists all admit that the word determined in our English version does signify cut off. Not one has disputed it. Josiah Litch, Midnight Cry, Volume 4, Number 25. Thus Chaldaic and rabbinical authority, and that of the earliest versions, the Septuagint and Vulgate, give the single signification of cutting off to this verb. Should it be inquired why a tropical sense has been attributed to it, such as determining or decreeing, it may be answered that the reference of the verse in which it occurs, to Daniel 8:14, was unobserved. It was therefore supposed that there was no propriety in saying 70 weeks are cut off, when there was no other period of which they could have formed a portion. But as the period of the 2300 days is first given, and verses 21 and 23, compared with Daniel 8:16, show that the 9th chapter furnishes us an explanation of the vision in which Gabriel appeared to Daniel and of the matter, the commencement of the 2300 days, the literal, or rather to speak properly, the only signification demanded by the subject matter is that of cut off. Professor Whiting, Midnight Cry, Volume 4, Number 17. 70 weeks have been cut off upon thy people, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sin offerings, and to make atonement for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Daniel 9:24, Whiting's translation. The facts which are set before us in the above from Litch and Whiting should not be forgotten. Number 1. The word rendered determined in verse 24 literally signifies cut off. Number 2. The vision which Gabriel came to explain contained the period of 2300 days, and in the explanation he tells us that 70 weeks have been cut off upon Jerusalem and the Jews. This is a demonstration that the 70 weeks are a part of the 2300 days. Hence the commencement of the 70 weeks is the date of the 2300 days. And the fact that the 70 weeks were fulfilled in 490 years, as all admit, is a demonstration that the 2300 days from which this period of 490 days was cut off is 2300 years. The angel's date of the 70 weeks. We have seen that the 70 weeks are cut off from the 2300 days. Hence, when the date of the 70 weeks is established, the key to unlock and understand the reckoning of the days is in our hand. The date for the commencement of the weeks is thus given by Gabriel. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. We present the following important testimony from the Advent Herald. It is a calm, dispassionate vindication of the original dates, which establishes them beyond dispute. It was written in the years 1850 and 1851, and consequently cannot be supposed to be given with a desire to prove that the days ended in 1844, as the Herald is not willing to admit that fact. Therefore, it must be regarded as candid and honorable testimony to important facts, that it demolishes every view which has been put forth to readjust the 2300 days. No one who can appreciate the force of the arguments presented will fail to perceive. For further testimony, the reader is cited to a very valuable work by S. Bliss entitled Analysis of Sacred Chronology. The Herald speaks as follows. The Bible gives the data for a complete system of chronology, extending from the creation to the birth of Cyrus, a clearly ascertained date. From this period downward, we have the undisputed canon of Ptolemy and the undoubted era of Nabonassar, extending below our vulgar era. At the point where inspired chronology leaves us, this canon of undoubted accuracy commences, and thus the whole arch is spanned. It is by the canon of Ptolemy that the great prophetical period of 70 weeks is fixed. This canon places the accuracy of the canon. This canon places the 7th year of Artaxerxes in the year B.C. 457, and the accuracy of the canon is demonstrated by the concurrent agreement of more than 20 eclipses. The 70 weeks date from the going forth of a decree respecting the restoration of Jerusalem. There were no decrees between the 7th and 20th years of Artaxerxes. 490 years beginning with the 7th must commence in B.C. 457 and end in A.D. 34. Commencing in the 20th, they must commence in B.C. 444 and end in A.D. 47. As no event occurred in A.D. 47 to mark their termination, we cannot reckon from the 20th. We must therefore look to the 7th of Artaxerxes. This date we cannot change from B.C. 457 without first demonstrating the inaccuracy of Ptolemy's canon. To do this, it would be necessary to show that the large number of eclipses by which its accuracy has been repeatedly demonstrated have not been correctly computed, and such a result would unsettle every chronological date and leave the settlement of epochs and the adjustments of errors entirely at the mercy of every dreamer, so that chronology would be of no more value than mere guesswork. As the 70 weeks must terminate in A.D. 34, unless the 7th of Artaxerxes is wrongly fixed, and as that cannot be changed without some evidence to that effect, we inquire, what evidence marked that termination? The time when the apostles turned to the Gentiles harmonizes with that date better than any other which has been named. And the crucifixion in A.D. 31, in the midst of the last week, is sustained by a mass of testimony which cannot be easily invalidated. Advent Herald, March 2, 1850. The Savior attended but 4 Passovers, at the last of which he was crucified. This could not bring the crucifixion later than A.D. 31, as is recorded by Aurelius Cassiodorus, a respectable Roman senator, about A.D. 514. In the consulate of Tiberius Caesar, Augustus V, and Aelius Sejanus, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the 8th of the calends of April. In this year and in this day, says Dr. Hales, agree also the Council of Caesarea, A.D. 196 or 198, the Alexandrian Chronicle, Maximus Monicus, Nicephorus Constantinus, Cedrinius, and in this year, but on different days, concur Eusebius and Epiphanius, followed by Keebler, Bucer, Paternus, and Petavius. Advent Herald, August 24, 1850. There are certain chronological points which have been settled as fixed, and before the 70 weeks can be made to terminate at a later period, those must be unsettled, by being shown to have been fixed on wrong principles, and a new date must be assigned for their commencement based on better principles. Now that the commencement of the reign of Artaxerxes Longimanus was B.C. 464 to 463, is demonstrated by the agreement of above 20 eclipses, which have been repeatedly calculated, and have invariably been found to fall in the times specified. Before it can be shown that the commencement of his reign is wrongly fixed, it must first be shown that those eclipses have all been wrongly calculated. This no one has done, or ever will venture to do. Consequently, the commencement of his reign cannot be removed from that point. The 70 weeks must date from some decree for the restoration of Jerusalem. Only two events are named in the reign of Artaxerxes for the commencement of those weeks. The one is the decree of the 7th year of his reign, and the other that of the 20th. From one of these, those 490 years must reckon. As his reign began B.C. 464 to 3, his 7th year must have been B.C. 458-457, and his 20th year B.C. 445-444. If the 70 weeks date from the former, they cannot terminate later than A.D. 34, and if from the latter, they cannot have terminated earlier than A.D. 46-47. In addition to the above, 69 of the 70 were to extend to the Messiah, the Prince. It does not read that they are to terminate when he is called the Prince, or that he is to begin to be the Prince when they terminate. They were to extend to the Messiah, the words "the Prince" being added to show who was signified by the Messiah. 69 weeks of years are 483 years. Beginning these with the 7th of Artaxerxes, they extend to A.D. 26-27. Dating from the 20th, they terminate in A.D. 39-40. Was there anything in either of these years which would make the words "unto the Messiah the Prince" appropriate? When Jesus was baptized of John in Jordan, a voice was heard from heaven, acknowledging the Savior as the Son of God, in whom the Father was well pleased. Consequently, he was the Messiah, the Prince, whose coming had been predicted. With that baptism, the Savior commenced the work of his public ministry. The Messiah, the Prince, had then come, as it was predicted he should, at the end of the 69 weeks, when he was acknowledged as the Son of God, the Messiah. He went into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled." The time then fulfilled must have been some predicted period. There was no predicted period which could then terminate but the 69 or 70 weeks. Did either of these then terminate? We have seen that the former, reckoned from the 7th of Artaxerxes, as it is fixed by astronomical calculations, would end in A.D. 26 or 27. And A.D. 27, we find, is the precise point of time when the Savior must have been about 30 years of age, when he was baptized of John, and declared the time fulfilled. At the first Passover, the Savior attended, which could not have been later than the spring of his 2nd year. The Jews told him that the temple had then been 46 years in building. Reckoning back 46 years from A.D. 28, they began B.C. 19, which is the precise year when Herod began the work of rebuilding the temple. From the eclipse which marked the death of Herod, before which the Savior had been born, his birth could not have been later than B.C. 4, which would make him about 30 at the very time of his baptism of John. Such a concurrence of chronological, astronomical, and historical testimony can only be set aside by testimony still more conclusive. Your argument that he was not called a prince till after his crucifixion is of no weight, for the Jews could not have crucified the Prince of Life, as Peter accused them, if he was not the Prince of Life till after his crucifixion. Nor is your argument respecting the midst of the week any more to the point. Your criticism has respect only to the English word "midst." If you wish to show that it does not mean middle in the present case, you must first show that the Hebrew word chatzi, which is here translated midst, from the verb chatza, has no such meaning, and that its verb has not a special signification of dividing into two parts, or to have, and that it has not a general sense of dividing into any number of equal parts, as Hebraists tell us it has. Till you show this, you make no progress whatever toward proving that it does not mean middle. But what was to occur in the midst of the week? The sacrifice and oblation were then to cease. Those Jewish ordinances could only cease actually or virtually. They did not actually cease till A.D. 70. They ceased virtually only at the crucifixion. They then ceased to foreshadow the sacrifice then offered. Was that in the midst of the week? 3.5 years from A.D. 27 bring us to the spring of A.D. 31, where Dr. Hales has demonstrated the crucifixion took place. The week during which the covenant was confirmed was that in the midst of which the sacrifice and oblation virtually ceased. Consequently, it could not extend beyond AD 34, the latest time to which 70 weeks, from the 7th of Artaxerxes Longimanus, could reach. Eusebius dates the first half of the Passion Week of years as beginning with our Lord's baptism and ending with his crucifixion. The same period precisely is recorded by Peter as including our Lord's personal ministry. All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of or by John, until the day that he was taken up from us at his ascension, which was only 43 days after the crucifixion. Acts 1:21-22. And the remaining half of the Passion Week ended with the martyrdom of Stephen, in the 7th or last year of the week. For it is remarkable that the year after, AD 35, began a new era in the church, namely the conversion of Saul or Paul, the apostle, by the personal appearance of Christ to him on the road to Damascus, when he received his mission to the Gentiles, after the Jewish Sanhedrin had formally rejected Christ by persecuting his disciples. Acts 9:1-18. And the remainder of the Acts principally records the circumstances of his mission to the Gentiles and the churches he founded among them. Dr. Hales is quoted in the Advent Herald, March 2, 1850. The foregoing testimony from the Herald establishes the following important points. Number 1. The decree referred to in Daniel 9, from which the 70 weeks are dated, is the decree of the 7th of Artaxerxes, and not that of his 20th year, Ezra 7. And to this point, we deem it duty to append an extract from Professor Whiting. We are informed in Ezra 7:11. Now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord, and of his statutes to Israel. The letter then follows, written not in Hebrew, but in Chaldaic, or the Eastern Aramaic, the language then used at Babylon. At the 27th verse, the narrative proceeds in Hebrew. We are thus furnished with the original document, by virtue of which Ezra was authorized to restore and build Jerusalem, or in other words, by which he was clothed with power, not merely to erect walls or houses, but to regulate the affairs of his countrymen, in general, to set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people beyond the river. He was commissioned to enforce the observance of the laws of his God, and to punish those who transgressed with death, banishment, confiscation, or imprisonment. See verses 23-27. No grant of powers thus ample can be found in the case of Nehemiah, or in any other instance after the captivity. That the commission given to Ezra authorized him to proceed in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem is evident from the fact that in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, Nehemiah, who was then in the Persian court, received information that the remnant who were left of the captivity, then in the province, were in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem was broken down, and the gates thereof burned with fire. See Nehemiah 1:1-3. The fact is that Ezra and his associates met with continued opposition from the Samaritans, so that during the whole of the 7 weeks, or 49 years, from the time that Ezra went up, to the last act of Nehemiah in obliging the Jews to put away their strange wives, the prediction of the prophet was verified. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. After Nehemiah reached Jerusalem, he examined the city by night. The result of his examination is thus stated, Nehemiah 2:13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. It is evident that the walls and gates which had been destroyed were the works of Ezra. The impropriety of referring the language of Nehemiah to the destruction of the city by Nebuchadnezzar will be seen at once, if we recollect that he reduced it to ruins on the capture of Zedekiah, B.C. 588, 144 years previous to the time when Nehemiah went up to Jerusalem. Article Shield, Number 1, Article, Prophetic Chronology, pages 105-106. That Ezra understood that power was conferred upon himself and upon the people of Israel to rebuild the street of Jerusalem and the wall is certain from his own testimony recorded in chapter 9, verse 9. Number 2, the second point in the evidence which the Herald has adduced is this, The seventh year of Artaxerxes, from which the decree is dated, is fixed beyond dispute in B.C. 457. Number 3. The commencement of Christ's ministry in A.D. 27 is clearly established, being just 69 weeks, or 483 prophetic days from the decree in B.C. 457. Number 4. The crucifixion in the midst of the week is proved to have occurred in the spring of A.D. 31, just 3.5 years from the commencement of Christ's ministry. Number 5. And it further demonstrates that the remaining 3.5 years of the 70th week ended in the autumn of A.D. 34. Here the 70 weeks, which had been cut off upon the Jews, in which they were to finish the transgression, close with the Jewish Sanhedrin's act of formally rejecting Christ by persecuting his disciples. And God gives the great apostle to the Gentiles, his commission to them. Acts 9. These important dates are clearly and unequivocally established by historical, chronological, and astronomical testimony. 69 of the 70 weeks from the decree in B.C. 457 ended in A.D. 27, when our Lord was baptized, and began to preach, saying, "The time is fulfilled." Mark 1. 3.5 years from this brings us to the midst of the week in A.D. 31, where it is demonstrated that our Lord was crucified. 3.5 years from A.D. 31, the period of 70 weeks terminates in the autumn of A.D. 34. Or to be more definite, the first 3.5 years of the 70th week ended in the first Jewish month, April, in the spring of A.D. 31. The remaining 3.5 years would therefore end in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34. Here then we stand at the end of the great period which Gabriel, in explaining the 2300 days to Daniel, tells him was cut off upon Jerusalem and the Jews. Its commencement, intermediate dates, and final termination are unequivocally established. It remains then to notice this one grand fact. The first 490 years of the 2300 ended in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34. This period of 490 years being cut off from the 2300, a period of 1810 years remains. This period of 1810 years being added to the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34, brings us to the 7th month, autumn of 1844. And here, after every effort which has been made to remove the dates, all are compelled to let them stand. For a moment, let us recur to the events of 1843 and 1844. Previous to the year 1843, the evidence on the going forth of the decree in B.C. 457 had been clearly and faithfully set forth, and as the period of 457 years before Christ, subtracted from the 2300, would leave but 1843 years after Christ, the end of the 2300 years was confidently expected in 1843. But if the 2300 years began with the commencement of B.C. 457, they would not end until the last day of A.D. 1843, as it would require all of 457 and all of 1843 to make 2300 full years. But at the close of 1843, it was clearly seen that as the crucifixion occurred in the midst of the week, in the spring of A.D. 31, the remainder of the 70th week, viz. 3.5 years, would end in the autumn of A.D. 34. And as the 70 weeks, or 490 years, ended in the 7th month, autumn of A.D. 34, it is a settled point that the days began not in the spring, with Ezra's starting from Babylon, but in the autumn with the commencement of the work at Jerusalem, Ezra 7. And this view that the days begin with the actual commencement of the work is much strengthened by the fact that the first 7 weeks, or 49 years, are manifestly allotted to the work of restoration in troublous times, and that period could only begin with the actual commencement of the work. Daniel 9:25. When it was seen that only 456 years and a fraction had expired before Christ, it was at once understood that 1843 years and a portion of 1844 sufficient to make up a full year, when joined to that fraction, was required in order to make 2300 full years. In other words, the 2300 days in full time would expire in the 7th month, 1844.